Well, good morning. Man, I love what you guys just did. You guys just preached a better sermon than I could ever preach to you. So I'm proud of you, and I'm excited to see what God says the rest of the morning, if he's already laying those things on your heart from Scripture. This is going to be a good, good morning. So here's a question. Who has ever made a stupid decision? Every one of us have made a stupid decision, right? Now, with stupid decisions, a lot of time comes unwanted, unplanned for, and harmful consequences. Have you experienced that? Have you injured yourself because of a stupid thing that you've done? Most of us probably have done that. In elementary school, I was probably fifth grade, and we were out at recess, and there was a group of us around the big toy, the jungle gym thing, and we were kind of daring each other to do different things on the jungle gym. And there was this girl that I had a crush on that I really liked, and one of my friends asked me, "Hey, Ryan, I dare you to run across the monkey bars." Yeah, so not go across, but run across the monkey bars. And as he said that, I noticed this girl that I really liked. She was kind of looking, she wanted to see if I was going to do it or not. So, guys, what do you do? When a girl likes you and she's checking to see if you're really manly or not, what do you say? You don't say, "No, I'm going to pass on that one." You say, "Yes, I've got this. I'm doing this." So I climbed up on the monkey bars. I started walking just to get my kind of balance. I went about four across, and it was going pretty good, so I was moving faster, and I started feeling really cool. And they were like clapping, and I was like, "I'm the king of the world," type of thing, right? And I get to about two-thirds of the way across the monkey bars, and I look down, and I see her, and she's looking up at me, and I feel like the coolest man on the playground. Well, I wasn't a man. I felt like the coolest little boy on the playground. And right as I was getting close to the end, this foot slipped that way, and this foot slipped that way, and I went down. Now, in one moment, I went from feeling really, really good about myself to all of a sudden, in one of the most painful moments that I've ever experienced in my life. And all because of a pretty stupid decision that I thought sounded pretty cool and pretty fun in the moment. You know, some things are fun for a bit. They might make you look pretty cool, make you feel pretty good, but unwise actions always result in unwanted consequences. And anything outside of God's boundaries for your life is going to hurt you and disrupt the abundant life that God wants for you. So let's listen up. Bring it in. This week, in counterculture, we're talking about substance abuse, but really beyond that, even more than substance abuse, we're talking about treating our body as the temple of God. And what is the temple of God? It's not the church. It's us. If we're a believer in Jesus Christ and he's our Lord and Savior, the Bible says the Holy Spirit has come into our heart. We're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. And just like you would take care of someone else's property, maybe better than yours, if you're house sitting, you want to make sure their house is really nice and clean and kept up. We are not our own. We are the Lord's. And so what we do with our body and with our mind is a really big deal. And here's the big idea. The big idea is that you will live your best life for God when you avoid things that harm or alter the mind and body gave you. That's how you live your best life for God. So here's what God says that he gave us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And all throughout the Bible, it talks about a sound mind. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded and be watchful." Why does God want us to have a sound mind, a whole, complete, healthy mind, and be sober-minded so that we can be watchful? Because 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So there's a lot at stake here, guys. There's a lot at stake. This morning, I want us to consider three reasons why we should be sober-minded and have a sound mind. Before we get there, let's just get it out in the open and talk about the things that rob our sound mind and harm our body. I don't want this whole message to be a Debbie Downer just ranting on drugs, but let's talk about them, because there are lots and lots of things that will do that, that alter the mind and body that God gave you. So, yes, definitely substances do, and you know what they are. I don't need to list them, but they're all around you. tobacco, alcohol, marijuana. There's inhalants. There's harder things like OxyContin and prescription drugs and even harder drugs beyond that. Guys, God would plead with you to stay away, stay far away from those, and I would beg you to stay far away from those for a number of reasons. Let me just tell you three real quick. Number one, as a minor, those are illegal, so no matter how innocent they seem, no matter how much anyone else is doing them, it's breaking the law, which is sin, and we should stay far away from that. Number two, they do have negative effects on our body, some short-term, some long-term. But number three is the most important, is that they have a negative effect on our relationship with God, short-term and long-term. But like I said, it goes beyond substance abuse. It goes beyond just things we put in our body. What about things we do to our body, like our eating habits? Some of us overeat. Some of us undereat. Both are unhealthy. Both aren't treating our body like the temple of God. What about sleep deprivation? Who here is tired right now? They wish they would have gotten more sleep last night. Yes. We don't get enough sleep, and that doesn't help us live out God's design. It doesn't give us the life God wants for us when we're constantly tired. What about self-harm and the epidemic of cutting? And man, God wants so much better for you than that. God designed your body for a purpose, with a purpose, and that's not what God wants you to do with your body as the temple of God. What about pornography? We're going to talk about sexual purity in a few weeks, but anything that we get addicted to is really like a substance. It alters our mind, it rewires and reprograms our thoughts, and it changes the mind that God gave us. What about overactivity? Would anyone say that they are too busy? They realize that? You are too busy? Guys, honestly, most of you are too busy. We're so stinking busy. If you're so involved with things every day that you don't have a time every day that you can sit down, not do anything, and just rest, you're too busy. If you're too involved that you can't set aside one day as a Sabbath, a day of rest, one day a week where you don't have anything going on and you can just rest, re-engage with God, reconnect with your family, and just spend that day doing that, you're too involved. It's one of God's Ten Commandments is rest. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Man, there's lots of things you see that attack our body and our mind. So you see the issue? We're sleep deprived, we've got eating issues, we're too busy, we're addicted to things. And then along the way, if it has not happened already, you're going to be asked, tempted, or maybe even try some substance thrown on top of all those other things that are wreaking havoc on our body and our mind. And can you see that is a recipe for utter disaster when we're not keeping our soul and our body healthy as the temple of God like God designed it to be. So that's my rant for today. I'm not going to just talk about a bunch of statistics and tell you how bad drugs are and just say no to drugs. I want something better than that because we're not fighting against culture. We're trying to point you to a better culture. Here's another way to say it. This isn't just about saying no to drugs. This is about saying yes to Jesus, something far superior to what the world has to offer you in any form of substance or activity. So turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to stand right on up and walk back and grab one off our table. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 18. This is Paul talking to the church of Ephesus, and he's going to talk about three reasons why we should do our very best to keep a sound mind and avoid those things that are going to harm us. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. I've got it on the screen if you don't have a Bible, with highlights even, so those are important. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, but I think you could substitute anything that harms and alters our body and our mind in there. Okay, don't be drunk with wine. Don't overeat. Don't deprive yourself of sleep. Don't smoke marijuana. Don't get addicted to video games. Don't stuff yourself with food. Instead, stuff yourself and fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. And that idea of be filled with the Holy Spirit is prefaced with three things, the three highlighted things, three ideas of why we should avoid what the world has to offer, but instead fill ourselves with what God has to offer. And the first one is that very first word in yellow, wise. Be wise. Number one is that we can walk in wisdom when we avoid those things. God lets us walk in wisdom, not as unwise people, but as wise people. Don't you want to be wise? We've all admitted that we've made stupid mistakes. We don't want to make stupid mistakes. All right? We don't want to be like this cat that thought chewing on this would be a good idea. We don't want to make... We want to walk in wisdom. We don't want to be what, like this weightlifter that thought this was a great idea. Too bad these aren't videos. I'd like to see the videos of these. We don't want to be like... We don't want to be like the man that invented the tandem toilet. That's not a good idea. We want to walk in wisdom. I don't know about you, but I definitely don't want to be the guy that thought wearing crocheted shorts is a good idea. No. That's horrible. Horrible. That is not walking as one that is wise right there. So I got to get that off the screen. I don't even know what's coming up next. We'll get to that, but that's better than what was on the screen. So we can walk in wisdom. Proverbs 20, verse 1, you just read it and wrote about it. Wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler. Isn't that a good picture? Something that wants to attack your mind, something that wants to alter your mind and your body, God says is like a brawler. You just picture like a UFC fighter as he's getting ready to be unleashed when that bell gets rung for the first round and he's just ready to go and tear someone apart and totally destroy them. That's the picture of what alcohol or really any substance is God is painting in the Bible. God says, be wise. Don't be led astray, but be wise. So this morning we're going to look at the story of Daniel. Three snapshots of Daniel. Daniel's the best example of someone that said no to substances and the things of the world in order to say yes to God. So in Daniel chapter 1, we're going to begin and look at just three snapshots for each one for each of these three points. Let me set it up. Daniel's been kidnapped, been taken out of his Jewish Israelite nation, taken to this pagan nation of Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar is trying to indoctrinate him and a bunch of other Jewish boys. They're probably 13 or so, middle school age Daniel, okay? And they're trying to be indoctrinated to be leaders for Babylon, but that means trying to change the culture that they've been involved in Israel for so long. So King Nebuchadnezzar wants them to eat all this great food and this feast that really go against their beliefs as Jews. And he also wants them to drink wine and alcohol, which go against their beliefs as Jews. And Daniel is countercultural, and he stands up and says, no, I know that's not what God wants for me. God has something better in store. So in Daniel chapter 1, I'm going to just tell the story from the Message paraphrase because it really paints a good picture here. Chapter 1, verse 8, it says, so Daniel determined that he would not defile himself by eating the king's food or drinking his wine, so he asked the head of the palace staff to exempt him from the royal diet. The head of the palace staff, by God's grace, liked Daniel, but he warned him, I'm afraid of what my master the king will do. He's the one who assigned this diet, and if he sees that you're not as healthy as the rest, he'll have my head. But Daniel appealed to a steward who had been assigned by the head of the palace staff to be in charge of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know those guys by their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you know the rest of the story. Try us out for 10 days on a simple diet of vegetables and water, and then compare us with the young men who eat from the royal menu, and then make your decision on the basis of what you see. The steward agreed to do it and fed them vegetables and water for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked better and more robust than all the others who had been eating from the royal menu. So the steward continued to exempt them from the royal menu of food and drink and serve them only vegetables. God gave these four young men knowledge and skills in both books and life, In addition, Daniel was gifted in understanding all sorts of visions and dreams, and at the end of the time set by the king for their training, the head of the royal staff brought them in to Nebuchadnezzar. When the king interviewed them, he found them far superior to all the other young men. None were a match for them. Man, what a cool story. Do you see what happened? Because Daniel and his friends walked in wisdom and said no. So this isn't a message saying you should only have water and vegetables to be healthy, but this is a message saying you should say no to the things that you know God doesn't want for you. Even though those things, in the culture that he was in Babylon, were completely acceptable types of food, completely acceptable to drink that alcohol in the culture he was in, he was a part of a better culture, a different culture. It's the culture of Christ. And in order to say yes to that, he said no to these things for something better, which is the wisdom and favor of God. So you want to make wise choices? This is where it starts, right here. Wise choices are the result of spending time with God and with people who are following after him. We talked about the friends that we have determines where we're going to end up. You look around at your friends, and you can tell a lot about where you're going to be when you graduate high school, when you get into college. You can tell. And wise choices start by spending time with the right people and with the right friends. And Daniel knew that, and he said, I got to get people around me to help me. So he got three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the four of them together said, we can do this. We can stand up to the king and say no and do what we know is right. Wouldn't it be awesome to be found far superior than your peers in school and in wisdom and in strength and you name it? They were found far superior because they walked in wisdom. The Bible says that there was no match for them. Here's the second point. Ephesians 5:16 said that we make the most of our time because the days are evil. So when we walk in wisdom, when we're avoiding things that are going to harm and alter our body and mind, we're going to be able to make the best use of our time. And that's important because the days are evil and our time is short. There's so much evil that Satan is strategically using to try to draw you away from God. And you know Satan's three purposes, right? He is there to steal, to kill, and destroy. Those are the three things the Bible says Satan is out for you. And one of the greatest ways he does that is through addiction. Addiction steals your time, it kills your impact, and it destroys your potential for the life that God wants for you. So don't bow down to them. Don't turn to them. Don't listen to them. Make the best use of your time. Don't destroy what God has given you to do in your time here on earth. And Daniel lived this out. Chapter 6. So we're going to jump ahead 5 chapters, but it's going to catch us up real fast. 6, starting in verse 1. So Darius reorganized his kingdom. He appointed 120 governors to administer all the parts of his realm. And over them were 3 vice regents, one of whom was Daniel. So you see what happened? In just 5 short little chapters, Daniel came from this kidnapped little boy trying to be brought into this Babylonian empire, and all of a sudden now we jump ahead and we see that he is one of the top 3 rulers in Babylon. But then listen to what else happens. The governors reported to the vice regents, who made sure that everything was in order for the king. But Daniel, brimming with spirit and intelligence, so completely outclassed the other vice regents and governors that the king decided to put him in charge of the whole kingdom. So the vice regents and governors got together to find some scandal or skeleton in Daniel's life that they could use against him, but they couldn't dig up anything. He was totally exemplary and trustworthy. They could find no evidence of negligence or misconduct. Man, what a testimony. I hope that's true of you and me. So that finally, they gave up and said, we're never going to find anything against this Daniel unless we cook up something religious ourselves. The vice regents and governors conspired together and then went to the king and said, King Darius, live forever. We've convened your vice regents and governors and all your leading officials, and we've agreed that the king should issue the following decree. For the next 30 days, no one's to pray to any god or mortal except you, O king. Anyone who disobeys will be thrown into the lion's den. Issue this decree, O king. Make it unconditional, as if written in stone, like all the laws of the Medes and Persians. And King Darius signed the decree.
And when Daniel learned that the decree had been signed and posted, he continued to pray, just as he always had done. His house had windows in the upstairs that opened towards Jerusalem, and three times a day, he knelt there in prayer, thanking and praising God. You see what he did? When up against a culture that said, don't follow God. You can't do that anymore. We want you to do something else. You've got to stop following God. Even to the point where they made it a law, punishable by death. When Daniel was up against a culture that said, turn away from God, he said what? He said, no. I know that the best thing I can do, the best use of my time, is not do what you're asking me to do and telling me to do and commanding me to do. The best use of my time is to keep praying, keep being on my knees, not fitting in, not conforming, not going with the flow. With the threat of death, he still did the best thing that he could do. Talk about peer pressure. You guys think you have peer pressure at school. You will never face what Daniel faced here. You'll never face the threat of death for praying to God here in America. You'll never face execution because you say no to some drug that's offered to you. Daniel overcame this peer pressure to make the best use of his time for what God desired for him in his life. And we can too. Because he was walking counterculturally. He was walking in wisdom. He was connected with God, so he did not bow down to whatever the world was throwing at him and the false gods that were there. Instead, he knew that what's the best that we can do is two things: invest in our relationship with God and connect with him in prayer. That's the best use of your time. And Daniel lived it out. We've got to be intentional with what we do. Our time is short. So here's what we've got to do. Know what you're doing at all times and do it on purpose. Don't just go with the flow and just, you know, wiggle back and forth between following God and looking like the world and coming to church and then being just like the other friends you have at school. Know what you're doing. Do it for a purpose. Make the best use of your time. And what you should be doing on purpose is investing in your relationship with God and spending time connecting with him in prayer. Everything else that God desires for your life are going to flow out of those two things. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. God doesn't say be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your lost friends. He doesn't say be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your worship. He doesn't say be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your relationship with me. The reason he wants us to know what we're doing, do it on purpose, be self-controlled and sober-minded, is that our prayers will not be hindered. Do you ever feel like you're praying to God and it's just not getting through? You don't know why you're doing it. You're not getting answers. You don't feel like God's even hearing you. Are you walking in wisdom? Are you making the best use of your time? Be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. That's how God hears our prayers. So here's the principle. When you're walking in wisdom, you're going to recognize evil when you see it. And you're going to be able to turn away when you're tempted to take something, to try something, to smoke something, to drink something. You're going to be able to say, no, that's not the best use of my time. That's not what I know I should be doing. There's no purpose for me to do that. Rather, I'm going to let that temptation drive me closer to God like Daniel did. That's the best thing you can do. Get on your knees and start praying. And here's our last point, number three. When we avoid things that harm our body and harm our mind, we understand God's will. Ephesians 5:17 says that if you do those things, you won't be foolish, and it will help you understand what the will of the Lord is, for the days are evil. This happened for Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar, so we're backing up now to chapter 2. King Nebuchadnezzar was having all these weird and scary dreams. He didn't know what they meant. He was trying to figure out, what do these dreams mean? So he invited all the fortune tellers, the astrologers, the wisest men, everyone that might have a chance of interpreting these dreams. But no one could figure out what they meant. In fact, all these men got together and said, nobody anywhere can do what you ask, King. No king, great or small, has ever demanded anything like this. These dreams were so weird, there was no telling what they meant. So the king and all the wisest men in the nation had no idea what it meant. But then look in verse 19. It says, that night, the answer to the mystery was given to, who do you think? Daniel. It's given to Daniel. Have you ever wondered, what is God up to? What's he trying to tell me in this? What does he want for me? I don't get this. I can't. There's no way I can do this. This is too big of a task. God, how are you? I can't do this. What are you asking me? What are you trying to tell me? We have those thoughts. But when we're walking in wisdom, we're making the best use of our time, we're going to be able to understand what God's will is. And yeah, Daniel was a prophet. God gave him supernatural ability to understand these dreams, but God still works in the supernatural. He can give us divine insight to his will, to know things that he's not revealing to other people, to hear a direct message from him, whether it's in his word, through a friend, through a vision or prayer that we have. And here's why it happened to Daniel, is because he kept himself clean from the influences of the world and the culture. He was walking in wisdom, saying no to temptation. He was praying, make the best use of his time. And God was showing him his will. Man, that's the kind of life I want. I want to be that connected with God, that unstained from the world. I want to be a Daniel like that. Don't you? Here's where the rubber meets the road, though. Anything you do in your life apart from the will of God will go very badly for you. That's why it's so important. That's why, man, I so long for you guys to understand God's will, and I so long for me to understand it more and more, is because apart from God's will, anything you try to do is going to end bad. God's plan is the best, and he wants such great things for your life. And that's why at a really young age, I remember vowing to never go near alcohol or tobacco or drugs. And so I've actually done that. I've never tasted a drop of alcohol. I've never smoked a puff of tobacco or marijuana. I've never done any drugs. And I don't say that to brag. I say that to say, guys, it is possible. I've certainly fallen in other areas. But in this area, it's possible to keep yourself unstained from culture and say no. And if you've already messed up in the past, and you're really struggling even right now, it's possible to have victory and to overcome it. And from this day forward, do what Daniel did and say, no, I want something better than what that's offering me. You can choose the better and the eternal over the temporary. 2 Peter 2:19 says, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves to sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. Guys, all that stuff, it promises freedom. It looks good. But it makes you a slave. It controls you. And I can tell you, don't let yourself be a slave. The life of someone that is controlled is a painful life, not the life God wants for you. Let me show you this video. This is just kind of a little fable of a creature that looks a little like a chicken and his temptation and what happens when we give in to temptation. I heard all sorts of things while that video was going. Don't do it. Why are you doing it? Not again. This isn't funny. All sorts of things. Now, you had that sense of emotional connection and urgency with a ugly chicken-like cartoon. Can we not feel that urgency when it comes to our own body, which is the temple of God? And that little golden jello drop is just a symbol of the temptation that you're walking by every day. God says, go around it. Don't give in, because it's wrecking you. God is better for you than that little golden drop. Choose what's better. And this is a safe place to do that. This is a safe place to deal with struggles, because there's no perfect people in here. We're all struggling here with different things, and I'm dying to see Christ at work in your heart and in my life. And we want to do whatever it takes to make that possible, to make him the most valuable thing, so that his value far surpasses that thing's value that you're going to come across this week or tomorrow or tonight. Let me just close with saying this, though, that you're never going to get it right until you get the first thing right. And the first thing is your relationship with God. Without a solid relationship with God, knowing that you fully surrendered your whole life to Him, then this may not make sense. It may not sound right because you're hearing so much else from the world that's counter this. But get your relationship with God right now. That's the first thing to get right. Everything else is going to come from that. You can sip all the stuff you want, but it's not going to change anything. If you never completely surrender your whole life to Christ, you're going to be going through the cycle of that guy on the screen. If you're ready to do that, maybe for the very first time, maybe for the 100th time, you know you've been walking in that wrong direction, and you know you need to turn around. That's what repentance means, turn around and start walking the other direction towards God. Today is the day, I'm begging you. And I need to do it as well. We all do. Let's surrender again to God completely so that we can walk in wisdom. We can make the best use of our time and we can know what God wants for us and say no to the stuff of the culture and say yes to the things of God. Let's pray as we think about that in our life. God, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for Daniel's boldness and courage to do what was right in the face of great evil and great temptation, in the face of a threat of death, that you still gave him the courage to stand for you. And we pray for that same courage. I pray for that courage for these students when they go to school tomorrow and this week, that they would have that boldness to stand for you in the threat of humiliation, in the threat of losing friends, in the threat of missing out on something, in the threat of not being cool enough. God, help us to stand for you. Do what's right. Avoid all those things that are going to harm and alter the body and the mind you gave us. Help us be sound in our mind. Help us to be sober-minded, to be watchful, to be on alert, making the best use of our time. God, we want to live this out starting right now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.